You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Let me buy you a drink. I don't care what it costs, baby.
Welcome to hour two of The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. And you can go on being your friends. I bet you we hit it off, baby. I'm going to take a look at Zohran Mamdani's policies, because he ran on a great society kind of platform, democratic socialism, even though it is more a social democracy kind of program. And a lot of people are saying, oh, that's great. We need some of the thing. I'm over here like Bailey Coleman, just laughing out of nowhere. We need to do some of the stuff that they're doing in New York. And a lot of people have, you know, posted on social media. Even folks have called here and they say, oh, Sherwin, I like what Mamdani is doing in New York. And I have to very quickly introduce reality back to those folks. New York is not Milwaukee. Two boroughs in New York, and New York City is nine boroughs. It is overwhelmingly large. It is the largest city in the United States. But two boroughs, so just the Bronx and Brooklyn. I think Brooklyn is like 1.8 million people, and the Bronx is damn near 3 million people. So two boroughs in New York has as much population as the entire state of Wisconsin. It is different politically. The diversity is different. The industry is different. The wealth is different. The real estate is different. The taxes, the tax structure is different. Their state government is different. It's very, very hard to compare. So we see something happening in another state, and we think, oh, we can have that here. Like Xavier is very excited because one of these communists, I suppose, is in the lead in a Michigan U.S. Senate race. And you're very happy about that. Xavier started the day off by saying in my ear, this is an exciting day for the movement. We'll see. We'll see. There's a an old Middle Eastern adage, and it's essentially themed, we'll see. Oh no, there's a war. A son might get drafted. Oh, what a shame. The son breaks his leg and he is not getting drafted. Oh, that's a good thing. We'll see. We'll see. Oh no, there's a terrible plague. A terrible pandemic going on, and everybody is going to get sick. Oh, but luckily, my son is out of town. He's not going to get sick. That's a wonderful thing. We'll see. We'll see. All these democratic socialists are breezing through their primaries. This is such a wonderful and incredible thing. It's a new movement, a new moment in American politics. And again, I'll say, we'll see. We'll see. Lessons could be learned from the Tea Party in 2010, which was an extreme faction of Republicans. And they, of course, produced some electoral wins. They also produced some pretty monumental losses and allowed Barack Obama to keep his Democratic majority in the U.S. Senate. There, of course, was Bernie fever in 2016, where everybody thought that he was the second coming. That didn't exactly work out. Then there was the Bernie phenomenon in the year 2020, and he was doing very, very well in that Democratic primary until African-Americans started voting in those Southern primaries, and then it didn't turn out so well for Bernie Sanders. So whenever political extremes become popular because the political climate is just so, and right now it's very anti-incumbent, it's very anti two-party system. People are incredibly frustrated, and they believe that the proper answer to Trumpism is to go as far to the left as you possibly can. And it makes a lot of sense. It does. It makes sense on paper if and only if a candidate who is running on that platform can produce results instead of just selling voters' dreams. And voters are very, very easily manipulated, especially when it comes to money, jobs, wages, and the economy. And if you say, hey, what's going on right now? It doesn't work. Donald Trump is ruining the economy. Here, come over here and try us. We're going to make the economy real good for you. We're going to raise your wages and make all of your insurance free. And we're even going to stop the climate from changing. We're going to do all the things. All you got to do is give me your vote. And if you're desperate and destitute, why not? Give it a shot. Be optimistic. There are other factors involved. As I scan the social media universe, and if anybody is matter of fact about Francesca Hong, like I posted something where it showed the candidates that she has endorsed. Now, she's running as a Democrat, but I don't believe that she actually is one because I don't think she's a dues-paying member of the state Democratic Party. Or if she is, she only did so to fortify her run for governor to give her credibility. But I looked at how many Democratic candidates. She's elected as a Democrat in the state assembly. But I looked at how many Democrats she's actually endorsed. She's never endorsed another Democratic candidate, not even Kamala Harris. I find that troubling. But then you're running as a Democrat. So she's endorsed seven candidates. All of them have been nonpartisan. So zero Republicans, which is good. She hasn't endorsed any Republicans. But she also hasn't endorsed any Democrats. And there are some races where we all know that we are better off if the Democrat gets elected. Now, here's the other thing. Endorsements don't mean a whole hell of a lot. At least I don't think that they do. To some candidates, that's how they build credibility for their campaigns. If a lot of other people can vouch for them, it's like having a lot of solid references on your resume. And references count. When you put your resume together, you need to have a couple of professional references and maybe some personal references. Note to keep in mind, if you're going to list somebody as a reference on your resume, please tell that person that you're going to use their name on your resume. Can you imagine how many people have used me as a reference? And for the most part, I'll lie for you. I would rather you get the job than remain unemployed or remain at a job that you're not happy with. So if you want to use me as a reference on your resume, I will oblige you, but you got to let me know. Hi, is this Sherwin Hughes? Yeah, who this? Because that's sometimes how I answer the phone. Hi, Julie Rasputin has listed you as a professional reference. Can you tell me some things about it? I said, who? I don't know who. And what am I supposed to say? I don't know nobody named Julie Rasputin. So I'm going to say she robbed me. She broke into my house, and then she got me pregnant and left. That's what I'm going to say. If you use me as a reference and you don't tell me, but if you say, hey, Sherwin, a little heads up, bro. Okay, what is it? What is it? Hey, I put you down as a reference, and if you get a call, just, you know, be expecting a call because I really want this job. That's all it takes. I'm like, got you. Hang up the phone with them. I don't know, maybe a couple hours later, a couple days later, I get a telephone call. Hi, is this Sherwin Hughes? Yeah, who this? This is Bobby Johnson from the XYZ employment staffing firm. Did Jamuka Jawakatima, they listed you as a professional reference. What can you tell me about Jamuka Jawakatima? They're the best person I've ever met. They're about as close to God as anybody could ever be. They've got outstanding moral character, and they've got a work ethic unlike anything that I've ever seen. I'll tell you what, I'm an employer myself, and if you guys don't hire them, I'm going to hire Jamuka myself because I can't live without them because they make the world a better place. They pick up garbage when they see it on the ground. They drive the speed limit. They never recklessly drive. They're married to one person. They don't cheat. They have wonderful children that are very well-behaved. They go to church every single Sunday. In fact, he keeps a spare Bible in his back pocket because he loves Jesus. I'll lie for you if you just give me the heads up. Arguments that critics have used against Zohran Mamdani's governing philosophy. It's important to distinguish, because we're going to be objective here, because I'm very fair. I'm a fair person. I don't have a lot of bias. It's important to distinguish between, one, actual broken promises or policy failures, and two, criticisms or concerns about the feasibility of his agenda. And with democratic socialism, because I want you to be more familiar with it, because I don't know if a lot of people really know. And this stems from a telephone call that I received. I don't know, somebody called during my show. And they said, well, sure, when democratic socialism has democratic in it, so it's the same thing. And that's when I realized I had to do a better job of demystifying the nuance because, you know, words matter. I'm going to give him some credit. Mamdani has only been a mayor for a relatively short period of time. There's not yet a long record of completed policies to evaluate. Many of his signature proposals are still being evaluated, implemented, or awaiting state approval, or have been modified due to fiscal and political constraints. So where's my other article? Here we go. Got a couple of them here. All right, where do we begin? He promised a lot of stuff, including the grocery stores. You guys familiar with the people's grocery stores because food prices are too high? And of course, he ran on a platform of wanting more people to have access to less expensive food and produce, et cetera, et cetera. More information regarding how New York Mayor Zoran Mamdani's city-owned grocery stores will operate has been revealed. Mamdani, age 34, has revealed that identification will be required at city-owned grocery stores to prevent non-residents from assessing discounted food, according to a press conference posted on YouTube by his office on Monday, July 27. As the GlobeMagazine.com reported, in Mamdani's plans for the five new municipal grocery stores posted on NYC.gov's website, he shared that, quote, a core basket of everyday groceries will be 30% cheaper than regular grocery stores. Here's the problem. I would imagine that the people that need food more than anybody else are probably the unhoused population or very transient people. They don't have an ID. It's also the same complaint that a lot of us had with voter ID, because if someone does not have identification, but they could be a military veteran and living on the streets and homeless and they don't have any ID, voter ID limits the number of people that can participate. So we very much so were against it. Also, I was against voter ID because why do people have to prove who they are to vote for who is going to represent them? Not to mention there's a whole bunch of other ways to prove your citizenship and your validity as a voter. I was just very much against voter ID because at first voter ID, to get an identification, it wasn't free. So that's like a poll tax. You had to go to the DMV, bring paperwork. Some people don't have birth certificates. If you were born in the Jim Crow South or any time in that era, hospitals weren't giving you a birth certificate. But if you need a birth certificate in order to get an identification, then you are not going to be able to get an ID, and therefore you can be disenfranchised. So ID serves as a barrier. Now, I don't think this is a fair comparison, but somebody told me to get into the Francesca Hong rally in South Milwaukee, you needed an ID there too. Wait a minute, Franny Pants. Why you need an ID to get into a public rally? You're a candidate running for public office. Of course, Xavier is going to now save her. What do you think, Xavier?
Well, it was a private event that you signed up for, so the ID was for, you know, if you were on the email list, but it's pretty easy for you to get on it. All you needed was a library card, anything, but you're just saying that you are the person that signed up to attend the rally because it technically was a private rally.
So it was a privilege, and that's things that you need to show identification for usually are privileged. You would think that somebody that's running for public office would want everybody to come, but I get it. She probably didn't want, like, Trumpers. But that still doesn't prevent a Trumper from getting in the rally, and they want to prevent hecklers from getting in.
Yeah, anyone can sign up.
But identification oftentimes presents a barrier because to move freely through American society, I shouldn't be required to have to identify myself. A reporter asked the mayor, how are you going to keep people from taking advantage of that deal, basically? And is there going to be a limit on the number of items that someone can take that are discounted at that level from that essential basket? The mayor said, quote, so our request for proposals makes it very clear that this is a program for New Yorkers to be able to put food on the table, not a program to be able to make a quick buck through reselling. Interim president and CEO of the Economic Development Corporation, Jenny Pock, weighed in during the press conference. Quote, we are looking to make sure that we target New Yorkers, whether it be a sort of a library card-esque thing. That means you got to have an ID to get the cheaper grocery store. And a lot of the other grocery retailers in the New York area are pushing back because they're going to lose business. Because if you can go to these city-owned cooperative grocery stores where things are 30% cheaper, then people are likely not going to shop and spend money at some of the other grocery stores that exist in the five boroughs. So I'm going to take a break, come back. We're going to go through a few more of, I got to make sure I say his name right because I don't want to mess his name up. Zoran Mamdani. Talk about some of his policies in New York, which a lot of you are fans of, but as of right now, they're not working. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. We'll be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Mamdani campaigned as a Democratic Socialist of America aligned Democratic Socialist on core affordability pledges, an immediate rent freeze for rent stabilized units, fare free and faster city buses, universal free child care, city owned grocery stores, expanded housing vouchers, and funding via higher taxes on high earners / corporations. Some progress occurred, notably a rent freeze delivered via his appointees on the Rent Guidelines Board of 2026 and partial / pilot child care advances with, of course, state help. However, multiple high-profile items stalled, were scaled back dramatically, reversed, or required fiscal gimmicks / bailouts due to inherited deficits. So I'm just going to provide an example that we have of when someone runs on a Democratic Socialist platform and they get elected on a lot of campaign promises. When a little bit of time passes, what happens to those proposals? And because we want to look at other parts of the country and think it's relatable to Wisconsin or relatable to Milwaukee, then fair enough, I'll humor you. So let's take a look at where someone actually won a general election on a Democratic Socialist platform. And then after some time has passed, where are those policies? Because if we believe that we can have a Mamdani here in Milwaukee or in Wisconsin, let's see if the policies that they run on actually come to fruition. Because some of the stuff sounds like a really good idea, but a lot of things are a really good idea. Me wanting to take a bike ride from here to Seattle, Washington, that's a really good idea, but I'm not going to do it because my legs will get very tired. I have nice legs, by the way. I'm wearing shorts today.
Silver Fox Summer.
My legs are shapely, but not, hold on, not in a womanly way. I have man-shapely legs. Hey, before we get to the Democratic Socialist stuff, can I say something real quick?
Yes.
It's not really related to anything that we're talking about, but I got real mad when I saw something. I don't even know how to bring this up. Somebody's going to get angry. But that's fine. Get angry. Men, if you have a wife, and maybe your wife is responsible for most of the cleaning, because, I mean, men can clean, but here's the problem. If we don't clean the way the woman wants us to clean, she thinks that we are weaponizing our incompetence, so we just don't clean at all, and so the women will do a lot of the cleaning because we're just not doing it right. But whatever, to each their own. Some women complain that when men use the bathroom, that we tend to miss or to splash or to splatter a little bit when we're going number one. I'm sure some of you are familiar. OK, Okay. I'm not saying it happens all the time. I'm not saying it happens often with a grown man. It should happen never. But sometimes women will complain, hey, you're splashing and splattering all over the place, and it's gross and it's disgusting. And I can see how a woman who takes her domestic duties very seriously would be very angry that the man in the house, her husband, whomever, is missing. Or maybe she's got a little boy, and you know, little boys don't have the best aim. Aim comes with maturity and with time, okay? I'm 51 years old, and I can hit a bullseye 92 yards, okay? I can write my name in the snow, but that comes with time and practice. So there are some women that require the man of the house to sit down to pee. And this was a thread that was posted on social media where a man was defending sitting down and peeing because his wife told him to, because when you sit down, then the likelihood of splash and splatter is greatly reduced. And the number of men that chimed in and said, I sit down to pee as well. All men should sit down to pee. You henpecked. Never. Listen to me. I'll pee all over the goddamn bathroom. On the mirror, on the wall. I'll pee on the ceiling before I sit down to pee. To feminize men in such a way to where now men are now telling other men, well, you should sit down to pee as well, because then when your wife cleans the bathroom, there's no little pee-pee dribble. Let it dribble!
Your manhood is that...
Yep. Oh, you look like you would sit down to pee, Xavier. You would.
No, I don't.
Don't you awe me. You had to think about it.
I could think about a situation where I would sit down and pee, and that I have. I don't know if it's appropriate to talk about.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it is appropriate now.
You know, say if you got a little morning, you know, your morning woody, you know, sometimes it's hard to aim. You know, sometimes it's better to just aim it down.
You push it down. You don't sit down.
No, when I'm up, I'm up.
First of all, if I sat down, I'd be peeing all over the wall. I would be touching the water. So I can't. I don't know about you. Maybe you can sit down with a stiffy. I can't. I'll be all up in the water with mine.
Yeah, you just got to aim it down, you know. Sometimes a little splash is fine. You just clean it up after.
You sit down and pee.
If my morning woody is too high.
It goes down in a little while. You just push it.
No, sometimes you wake up and you got to go.
And so sitting down. But then you got to tuck it.
Yeah, you got to push it down. I mean, it's that or I pee all over the walls. I'm not trying to do that.
Wipe it up.
Nah.
Okay, well, I don't know. My aim is good because it's 18 freaking inches of toilet bowl. If you miss, then you're a little somebody slow talking about, oh, men need to sit down and pee. I heard of it many, many years ago from, and actually, do I want to tell y'all where I worked? No, because I don't want you guys to actually screw him. So he was a manager when I worked in the Department of Administration, when I worked in city government. And he said, oh, yeah, I sit down and pee. I never respected him as my manager after that. He'd be like, oh, Sherwin, are those reports due? I'm like, I get to him when I get to him, Mr. Sit Down.
All the time?
Mr. Sit Down. I never respect to do it anymore after that.
I'm talking about he pees sitting down all the time. Oh, yes. Well, that's different.
All the time. He was a sit down. Like, no, it's. And like when men talk about it, like their voices even get a little bit more feminine. Like dudes can be, yeah, man, I was watching the game. Yeah, man, it scored 37 points. I sit down to pee, though. No, my wife said it's better if I sit down like her. We can both sit down and pee on, because the toilet is meant for sitting. And then I guess that eliminates the debate between, oh, put the toilet seat back down. You put it down. You're the one that needs the toilet seat. Put it down. No, the toilet seat. First of all, the lid should be closed all the time. So I'm a firm proponent of that. But if you don't check to see if the toilet seat is down and you fall in the toilet, and I've heard that splash late at night, and it's always funny because it's always followed by a scream. Like, why are you not looking where you're sitting, ma'am? I can't believe it. And some of these men, I got to check the YouTube chat, because I bet some of these men are in the YouTube chat like, oh, my God, Sherwin, I sit down. I'm sitting down right now.
I'm sitting down while I'm listening to your show. I've got my phone in my hand and I'm sitting down going tinkle.
Men that sit down to pee don't pee, they tinkle. Hey, Bob, where you going?
I got to go tinkle. I'll be right back.
And they prance off to the bathroom. They start skipping.
I thought you were talking about the caller.
What caller? He sits down to pee?
The caller, Bob. I don't know.
Bob, at least in that regard, is a real man. Bob will pee on the side of a building and get caught by the police. I can see if Bob was squatting and got caught by the police going number one, then I'd have a whole bunch of stuff to talk about. But no, Bob was probably trying to write his name on the side of the building. All right, I'm going to take a break, come back. I'm going to talk about failed democratic socialist policies. I bet democratic socialists would probably require men to pee. Men, you don't need to be a man anymore, because the fact that you're a man means you're toxic and you're masculine, and that's terrible. You're a violent man because you were born a man. Every man must sit down to pee.
The DSA must be everything you hate.
I could see them like requiring certain hairstyles. So you got to have a man bun to be an official member. Like to be a high-ranking member, your hair as a man has to bun.
Well, Zoran doesn't have that.
And then you also have to be a sit-down peer, okay? And then what else do you have to do? Probably wear a dress at least 1 to 2 days a month. But that's fine. That's fine. If that's what you want to do, I bet wearing a dress is very freeing. It is. One year for Halloween, I was in seventh grade. I'll never forget it. My group of friends were all going to dress like women. That we were going to come to school for that Halloween. This is the seventh grade. I'll never forget this. And we were all going to dress like women. So when I was in seventh grade, I was almost identical to my mother's size. And so I told my mother, I was like, hey, for Halloween, me and all my friends were all going to wear women's clothes and we're going to go to school. She was just like, you sure? I was like, yeah, all my friends are doing it. It's going to be really, really funny. Okay. I got up that next morning and I was perfectly content to do it because I thought it was going to be funny, and all my other friends were white, of course. They're all going to be dressed up like women. And so we even talked to each other the night before. Hey, you guys still going to go through with it? Yeah, we're going to go through with it. We're all going to be dressed like women. All right, we'll meet in the cafeteria before first period starts. All right. So I wake up that morning, and my mother had curated an outfit for me with her clothes. It was like an off-the-shoulder sweater. Remember, this is the 80s. It was like an off-the-shoulder sweater, a jean skirt, and some nylons, and she had it laid out, and I was like, hell no, never, no way. I couldn't do it. And so I got to school that next morning, and I literally saw all of my friends, and not only were they dressed in their mother's clothes, dressed like women, some of them put makeup on. I was like, I know what y'all are destined for. I couldn't do it. When I saw my mom had laid that outfit out like she had a daughter, I can't do it. I love being a man too much, and I don't apologize for it. I'd rather be a man. Being a woman is way too dangerous. It's too complicated. It doesn't pay enough. You have to be afraid. You have to, as a woman, even if you're like, oh, I'm strong and I'm independent, and shout out to women that are strong and independent, you still need to have a healthy fear of 50% of the population. And not that men are even going to do anything to you, but you never know. So I just wouldn't. It just doesn't feel fair, you know? And then not to mention the monthly visitor. That'll ruin your vacation.
Depending on what kind of birth control you have, sometimes women don't have periods.
Bro, that stuff gives them cancer. It is terrible for their bodies. And even if you're on assuming that she can tolerate a certain type of birth control, there's always terrible, terrible side effects. No, it's bad. But even if you're on certain kinds of birth control, they still get their monthlies. Like how, like imagine you got a big day coming up, and then here comes Aunt Flo. Like how does that not? But what's even worse though is when you're expecting it and you don't get it. That's now you got to panic. Okay. Rant over. No, it isn't. I'm just going to pause it to take a commercial break. You're listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes, where I stand up to pee. Join my coalition of men who stand to pee. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Lady B says, why is he so out of control this early in the show? I'm not out of control at all. You haven't seen nothing yet. If you think this is out of control, I'm just stating the things that I notice in the world around me. Most, my opinion, good talk radio content is just observing the things in the observable world. Sometimes we talk about culture. Sometimes we talk about politics. But the best content and, quite honestly, the best conversations is just what you see. Just what you experience when you go to different places. Let's say you go to a restaurant or you go to an entertainment district. Just talking through your personal experience can make very fascinating conversation. And I saw something posted on social media, and the number of men that I come to find out are also participating in sitting down to pee was astonishing to me. And the fact that they were shaming men that stand up to pee.
Where was this article at?
It wasn't an article. It was just a posting on my Facebook feed. My Facebook feed is weird.
Oh, Facebook. Yeah. So it could be something totally fake then.
It's not fake because I've heard it before. So 20-something years ago, one of my managers, when I worked for city government, he said that he sat down to pee. And then when he told us, we looked at him like he was nuts. He was like, why are you guys looking at me like that? Like, I thought, no, so the splash doesn't go everywhere. I'm like, bro, learn how to aim. You're in your 40s, bro.
So he doesn't use urinals?
He knows urinal in nobody's house.
Oh, yeah. I'm talking about at work and stuff. You know.
Well, I don't know. He might. He might choose. Well, I sit down anyway, so I don't need a urinal.
Actually, you know, I don't even use a urinal. I go into the stall.
No, I don't care about that. When I got to go pee, I go handle my business. Whatever is open. If I'm going to the bathroom in public, I'm not going to be picky. If there's a urinal open, I'm going. Especially at, like, a sporting event. I'm not at the toilet.
Oh, I hate that. I hate that. Summerfest, all those people just looking at your business?
Nobody looking at your business, dude.
Yeah, they are. They're not. I've caught them.
I'm focused on the task at hand, and if somebody is going to look, what am I going to do?
I can't help the feel if someone's looking at me. I'm just like, I guess I'll just go to the stall.
Here's my thing. Let them watch. Let them watch. Go ahead. Get a good look. You'll never see nothing like it again. Get a good look. Take a picture. Don't. No. Don't take a picture. I don't care about nothing like that. And plus, there's a way that you can, like, you can tuck. Because the sides of the urinal are kind of, it's concave. So you can tuck if you need to tuck.
Not the ones that I'm talking about.
But I'm not noticing any other men. And if they turn their heads or, I don't care. I'm not looking left or right. I'm focused. I'm either looking directly in front of me or I look up. I don't look left or right because I don't care what other men have going on. I'm there to pee. It's not a social experiment.
So you can pee at the urinals when the guy's right next to you?
Yes.
I need a gap.
Okay. Well, to each their own. I'm not bothered by such trivial things. If I got to use a bathroom, I got to use a bathroom. If a stall is open, I go in the stall. If it's a urinal that's open and there's a line, I'm going to go wherever I can relieve myself the fastest. Maybe I got to pee outside. I don't care about peeing outside. I'll pee outside anyway.
That's my favorite thing to do.
My own house.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things to do. The breeze is so nice.
You just like being naked, having your tallywhacker out in the breeze. That's what that is.
Yeah. It's nice.
Anything else you want to share with the class?
Not right now. It'll come up, you know.
Sure it will. Check our YouTube poll. Have you recently considered relocating? 61% of you have said yes. 39% of you have said no. That is now getting to be a healthy majority of people that have considered relocating. Out of Wisconsin or Milwaukee or whatever. Curly, you're offended easily. And don't let me get to talking about relationships. Then she's like, why is he talking about relationships? Because relationships are the foundation and the building block of community. But enough about that.
you got to watch this guy because he likes to use profanity. Hey, don't listen. Don't cuss. Don't use any profanity or we're going to have to bleep you. Okay? So whatever you're going to say, don't use any naughty words.
Matt, hello?
Yeah.
I don't use that profanity even in the evening.
Yeah, yes, you do.
No, I don't. I just called to say Al uses that type of language, and Al told me I better vote, so I'm going to vote in the primary now. And that's, but I'm not voting for nobody just because they're black, and that's a fact. But I'm going to vote in the primary, and if the person I don't get vote for doesn't get the nomination to move forward, then I will not be voting in the primary. And that's my choice.
You won't be voting in the general, you mean?
The general. The okay. General is what I mean.
So who are you going to vote for in the primary? But you're not. You said you're not going to vote for
somebody. I'm
going to
vote for the Negro. I'm going to vote for the Negro.
I thought you didn't vote for people just because they're black.
I ain't voting for him because he's black. I'm voting for him because I want him to win.
Okay.
I don't want her to win. I want him to win. But can he win? Can he beat her? Is the question.
Well, no in a week.
Well, let me ask you, can he beat her? Answer the question, please.
I don't know. I can't give you a...
What do you
can't,
think?
Yeah, can
what do you
he?
Think?
Yes. Is it possible for David Crowley to convince just enough of the undecided voters to vote for him over her? There is a way in which that is conceivable, yes. Will it happen? That's the part we don't know.
Well, let's make it happen.
All right, how you want to make it happen, Mac? What do you suggest?
You got the power. You got the power.
No, nobody listens to me. No, they don't. They don't listen to me.
Oh, they more people listen to this program than any other program on that station.
But that does not mean that people take my words to heart. Here, watch this, Mac. Watch this. Okay, if you think people listen to me, watch this. Hey, everybody, stop shooting people and stop running red lights. Okay, I said it. You think people are going to listen to me?
Okay, those people don't listen to you. They don't listen to you. So what I'm saying is you got a lot of power, man.
Why don't you do this, Mac? You know, there's people that you know, you got friends, you got family, you got people you're connected to. Why don't you make sure that every single person that you know that you can contact, make sure that they're all voting and they're all registered. That's what you do.
I guarantee you. I will do that, and I guarantee you they will do that.
There it is. Boom.
I will talk to you tonight when I'm feeling better. Have a good one.
You was drunk last night. You drunk right now? You hung up. You was so drunk last night. If you listen to my Hughes Views 414 podcast from last night, Mac was cutting up. He was regretting that he couldn't do any cocaine because you can't trust it. He's like, it's not like I can do blow. Can't trust it anymore. He got very angry with me. Got ornery. He couldn't do any cocaine. To each their own.
Tell him to do some Adderall.
And maybe the Democratic Socialists will make cocaine cheaper. I don't know what cocaine prices are nowadays, but it's probably costly. Campaign promises that have been delayed, scaled back, or modified by Zoran Mamdani. Free buses remain incomplete. Campaign promise was free bus service citywide. The reality, implementation has been delayed because New York cannot fund the program alone and requires state cooperation and significant ongoing funding. Next campaign promise made by Mamdani, for those of you that believe that his brand of democratic socialism would be of value here, he promised universal child care, and it's been significantly narrowed. Critics know that rollout has been slower and more limited than originally envisioned because of budget constraints and implementation challenges. Instead of having free universal child care citywide as a pilot program where only 2,000 children can participate, housing assistance expansion has been reduced. A proposed expansion of rental assistance programs was dramatically scaled back as the administration confronted multi-billion dollar budget deficits. Budget cuts affecting previously supported programs facing large fiscal gaps. The administration proposed to cut some programs that had previously been priorities, prompting criticism that the campaign rhetoric conflicted with government realities. Here's something that needs to be noted. Democratic socialists need tax revenue. They need people to have money and to make money. In fact, they need a certain number of wealthy people because the wealth the wealth that people have will be a source of revenue for public investments. But you need capitalism to generate wealth because nothing else generates wealth like capitalism. So how are you going to be, this is just being objective here, how are you going to be anti-capitalist but need capitalism to generate the wealth that you are going to tax, and the taxes that you generate from the wealth that comes from capitalism will be invested in your child care and fully funding public education and your free buses and your reduced housing costs, et cetera, et cetera. This is just stuff to think about. Take a break, come back. How about we do this? Ladies, why don't you do this? Why don't you stand up to pee? Exactly. It'll be a disaster. Nature made it so that men can, we stand up because we can be alert of predators coming. We're alert, we're standing. So we can pee and also be the security for the village. Women have to sit down and be vulnerable.
Hey, can you just, hey, I gotta pee. I gotta sit down. Okay. Make sure you're watching out. Make sure you're making it nobody can see me. And let me know if a lion comes up because I gotta sit down.
It's biological differences like that. And I'm not saying that men are better, but I would rather like be able to pee and be on the lookout. I can watch over the terrain to make sure you are safe. Xavier was still, even back in the old days, he'd probably be sitting down peeing, being a caveman.
Well, there's no toilets. Peeing. I wouldn't need to.
No, I used to. Unga bunga, unga unga. Back in the caveman days, Xavier would be a real light-skinned caveman. Unga bunga bunga. I sit down and pee-pee. Unga bunga. The truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Lady B says, do I really want to read that? She says she squats every day to pee at work. You hover over the toilet. Women's bathrooms are 10 times more disgusting than men's bathrooms. And whoever told that lie in the YouTube chat, you are misguided. I can't even say on the air how disgusting women's bathrooms are. Toilet paper all over the place. It's just an absolute, it's a fiasco. I don't know what it is, especially in a nightclub. A women's bathroom in a nightclub compared to the men's is night and day. I don't know what it is about women and their bathrooms that they are just absolutely filthy. The other one is, I look at somebody's car. Why do you have your entire life in your automobile? Do you live out of your car? Why do you have 3 outfit changes, 4 McDonald's bags, a ton of empty water bottles, empty McDonald's cups, the whole back seat of shoes, the whole back? Why do you live that way? If somebody has to clean off the passenger seat of their vehicle in order for you to sit down in their car, that's a problem. And I say, okay, yeah, no, my car is over here, here. Okay, I'll drive, no problem. And then you get to their vehicle, and you see, and you're still locked out because they're not even unlocking the door because they got to clean off debris from the passenger seat. You don't even know if there's a passenger seat in this vehicle because there's so much stuff and there's so much debris. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't even want to sit in your vehicle. Why do you have so much stuff in your vehicle? Like, are you a traveling salesperson? Like, where's your house? And if all this stuff is in the actual vehicle itself, what's in the trunk? That's why you put stuff in the trunk. The trunk is a part of a vehicle that is for storage of things. I just can't understand it. And I will judge somebody based on what they have in their car. Ladies, do you really need 17 purses in your vehicle? Like, why do you have so many purses? I'm genuinely curious. Why do you have so many purses? Why do you have so many shoes? Why is it that, why are you eating so much in your car? I don't eat in my car. I don't. Because a French fry will go missing forever. And I can't, I'll pull over. If I drop a fry, and if it falls in that, it's the no man's land where no hand fits. It's right between your center console and the seat. Many things will collect down there. Change will collect.
They have a catching device for that.
Or just don't eat in your car.
No, just for the random things that fall in there.
I don't, my car, there's nothing in it. There's no, I don't have, there's nothing on the seat. There's no shoes. There's no purses. There's no extra t-shirts. There's no jeans. I don't have a suit, a tuxedo. I don't have, my car is for me to drive and maybe occasionally for other people to ride with me. But I don't have all of that stuff in my car. And if you've got a lot of stuff in your car, there's something, something's a little off with you. Life is not going, it's not going your way if you have a messy car. Because, and another one is, if you know you're going to have company, since we're griping today, why would your house be disgusting when you know that I'm coming over? That means you don't care. You have no pride. Now, I try my damnedest to keep a reasonably clean house. Like, I might have, like, you know, clothes might be on the floor if I'm in between laundry. And also, if I got to come home real quick and I got to change, I got to go to another meeting, or if I got a lot of stuff I have to do, then things may suffer a little bit. But I'll do a little quick pickup. I'll pick my clothes up, put them down the – I have a dirty clothes, a chute that goes in my basement. I'll throw the clothes down the chute. I organize my shoes. So the house always looks reasonably presentable. I like to keep my kitchen clean because the dirty kitchen is gross. But then there are some people that, oh, yeah, we're all going to get together at my house and everybody's going to come over on Friday. If you're inviting people to your house and it's disgusting, what's wrong? Why would you do that? Because now I don't like you anymore. We can't be friends anymore. Clean a bathroom at least, please. Because you have to. You're inviting people over? What, like, what's the excuse? Sometimes it's a single mother thing, and I'm not beating up on single mothers, but if you got 14 kids, it's hard to keep the house clean when you have so many kids, and sometimes you just give up. But if you're childless or your children are with the other parent for the weekend and your place is filthy and you're inviting people over, like, I just can't understand that. Why are you inviting me to see this? I'm going to judge you. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be back for Hour 3.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.